In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is the constant teaching of the Church, beautifully expressed by the Fathers of the Second Vatican Council, that the Son of God, became man, so that God might reveal man fully to himself. In other words, we did not even know how to be human, and so Jesus shows us, by being born, by dying, and by rising again, how to be men and women fully alive. Friedrich Nietzsche once wrote that man is the only animal who breaks a promise. And like most of Nietzsche's aphorisms, this contains a grain of truth. For it is only man, of all the animals, that can make a promise. Only man can commit himself in one moment, in one word, to a course of action that no circumstance can alter. In this capacity lies man's nobility. Although everything else may be uncertain, man can, by a promise, become a rock that no flood can sweep away. The Psalms praise the man who stands by his word, even to his hurt. Promise-making and promise-keeping does give a sketch of the heights of the human spirit. Our Lord came to show us how to be human, and so he came to show us what it means to make and to keep a promise. It is especially by becoming a member of the Holy Family that our Lord shows us what it means to keep a promise. He taught us this first by keeping his own promise, that promise first made to Adam and Eve, that he would send them a Redeemer to rescue them from sin and the dominion of the devil. The incarnation of the Son of God, the birth of our Lord in Bethlehem, is the fulfillment of his promise. And then when Saint Joseph, doubtful that he is worthy to be the husband of the Mother of God, resolves in his heart to put Mary quietly away, what does God do? He sends an angel to strengthen Saint Joseph so that Saint Joseph will not be afraid to keep his promise of being the chaste guardian of Our Lady. In the Holy Family, God keeps his promise of becoming Emmanuel, God with us, and he strengthens Saint Joseph's promise. Already in the Holy Family, we see what it means to be a promise-keeping animal. It is fitting that God chose the Holy Family to reveal what it means to keep a promise, because the family, each family, is the fruit of the promise of husband and wife, the promises of fidelity, of permanence, of openness to the gift of children, are required for every Christian marriage. And I don't think I'm telling you anything surprising when I say that there is enormous pressure, both from within the family and from outside, against the keeping of these promises. The pressure inside the family, perhaps that's egoism, our pride, the desire of putting ourselves first. And so the tonic note of the symphony of each family must be humility, because humility means putting the good of the other above your own comforts. Humility is perfectly displayed for us in the readings of today. In the first reading, we hear children admonished to reverence their parents. And then in the Gospel, we see the humility of Our Lady, the model of all mothers. In the Hebrew idiom, it's the convention that the speaker always refers to themselves first. And this grammatical convention is followed everywhere in the Bible, except the Gospel of today. Our Lady, the mother of the Savior, says, "Look, your father and I have been searching everywhere for you." the mother places St. Joseph's heartache and concern before her own. Our Lady, the Queen of Angels, is truly the most humble of all creation, because she is more attentive to St. Joseph's concern and pain than to her own sorrow. And then we come to St. Joseph himself, who never speaks a single word in the entire Bible, and yet is a man of great strength. That silence reveals his strength. It reveals a strength that is born from obedience to God, because no matter what the crisis is, whether it's Herod's pursuit of the child, whether it's the difficulty of returning to Nazareth after the sojourn in Egypt, St. Joseph shows himself faithful, a man of silence, a man of strength, a man of obedience. Humility is the remedy to the pressure within the family trying to break it up. And at this time, my friends, the family is facing a great pressure from the outside, a great pressure that is being brought to bear that tempts children to break their promises of respect and reverence to their parents. This pressure is mercy killing. The first reading, with its catalog of duties of children to their parents, should make us reflect deeply on the great impiety of mercy killing. Children who have been cared for by their parents in justice owe their parents proper care in their frailty and old age. Children are required, with the help of professionals, to care for their parents, and a desire to end suffering is never an excuse for killing. We are to care for people in their suffering. We are never to kill. Because if a child breaks this promise, he involves not just himself in promise breaking, but also those who have sworn in a Hippocratic oath never to do anything to harm their patients. Each physician promises, "Nor shall any man's entreaty prevail upon me to administer poison to anyone, neither will I counsel any man to do so." Always to care, never to kill. That is the promise made by our healthcare professionals. Euthanasia, mercy killing, makes promise breakers of physicians and children. So what is the solution to these pressures? It is fidelity to our promises. Fidelity to the promise of marriage, of husband and wife, but also to another set of promises which are at the heart of every family. These are the promises of baptism. Each vocation, whether it's priesthood, married life, religious life, depends on promise, depends on promises. But underlying all these specific vocations is the great vocation to holiness, and it depends on the promises made in baptism, to believe in the Lord Jesus and to follow his teachings. These promises are made by the parents, and parents need to know what they are promising. In one great novel set before the Spanish Civil War, it's called The Cypresses Believe in God by Jose Maria Gironella. It chronicles the lives of a family of five, mother and father, two boys and a girl. And the youngest boy is a very gentle, pious lad, and his father thinks he might have a vocation to the priesthood. So the father goes to a learned monsignor and asks him, "You know, perhaps my boy might have a vocation to the priesthood. What do you think, monsignor?" The monsignor says, "My friend, I think your son has a vocation to be a saint." And the father replies rather impatiently, "Well, of course he has a vocation to be a saint. I know my wife, my other two children, and I also have vocations to be a saint. I'm asking whether he has a vocation to be a priest." Do we share that rock solid conviction that our children are called to be saints? Do we teach them to know and love Almighty God? Do we find and seek out good role models and mentors for our children? Do we teach them to pray? Do we help them live according to the teachings of the church? That is what we have promised in baptism. So, my friends, the family is where we learn to keep our word, to be truly human, to live out our commitments above all the sacred promises of our baptism. Through the intercession of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, may Almighty God send each of us his grace to be faithful to the promises we have made, so that we may taste his undeserved promise of eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.